Welcome to a new podcast episode, your podcast about leadership, management, safety and security from a different angle and new perspective for your professional life and private, all include. Just enjoy it. Yeah, that's short. Should be short, isn't it? And we have a special guest today, a special podcast episode. One guy from the United States of America joins us in our podcast. And so a warm welcome to Ike Eisenhardt. How are you doing, Ike?
I'm doing good. It's good seeing you again.
Yeah, it should be something like just for you.
Just for me.
Like,
it was like the old days.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Ike, I guess usually if I would say, let's try to explain or to introduce some special guests in our podcast, it could be one thing to do them myself. So, but it's easier and it's the best way to get that warm and fresh and fruity, I would say, from the guest as well. So just if you have the chance to introduce yourself in a barbecue or a party or something like that, how would you explain who is Ike Eisenhardt, what he does, and where are you going from, where you come from, where you're going to? Just explain us a little bit about yourself, please.
So as you said, so I'm here in the United States. I live in Virginia. My background is I've got over 30 years of fire and EMS training with security and law enforcement. Currently, I own an infrastructure protection company, so I deal with. Here in the United States, we have our infrastructure broke down into 16 sectors. So I work across all 16 sectors and helping them with emergency preparedness plans, security plans, business continuity, COOPs, just getting them pretty much ready. So I try to introduce myself as somebody knowledgeable, but at the same time, try not to be so arrogant that it puts people off at the moment they meet you.
So you are this guy that we need if we have some trouble in the company or in our organization. So if you are a guy that just like a firefighter to comes in and to fix all the stuff if something going wrong, or you are this guy that just prevent that shouldn't be happening on the future. So you are prepare the people and the organizations, or you are the firefighter, the troubleshooter?
So that's a fantastic question. I actually do both. So I'm actually on the local fire department. So I'm that first responder that you're going to see. But on top of that, I also do the part where I educate. I come and talk to leadership, I talk to personnel, and I educate them on how to be prepared. So hopefully they don't have to call us in. They can handle things at their level. So we talk about everything from hiring and firing practices. How do you deal with letting somebody go and not having a vulnerability inside your business, your industry? How do you handle key control issues? How do you handle who's coming in, who's going out? At the same time, you know, how do you keep an open environment, because you want to do business, you don't want to put people off, but keep your people safe, and do all those things that help you be prepared. So I do both. I do that first responder piece, and I do that education piece, and I help them find where they may be lacking at times.
Oh yeah. It's an absolutely fantastic environment to work in there, all the safety and security things. But sometimes it's a little bit hard, I would say, to survive as a consultant or an expert in their own organization or in other parts, because everybody don't want to spend too much money on this, because it's just security is just a cost center, and everything is it's going on there, and you have to keep and save the money on the right place and to spend that for other thing. So but let's talk about that a little later. Just how do you get into this business? Tell us again, or just a short overview. And you just did you some study, or just an apprenticeship, or a practitioner, or what was the key situation or moment that you just jumped in this safety security environment or emergency crisis management?
So for me, I would say it was a fairly long immersion into into what the business is to the needs. So April 8th, 1989, I joined Fire and EMS service. So I started out as a firefighter, that first responder. And I thought that was great. I was a young guy. That's what you saw on TV. That's what you did. That's what you wanted to do. 1994, I joined the military. So I added another layer to that. Through my military service, I got involved in some full spectrum infrastructure vulnerability assessment teams where we learned how to go out and do these assessments. And of course, here in the US, we had that thing in 9/11, 2001.
Oh, yeah.
So that kind of changed our whole focus on what being prepared was all about. So my military career projected me into that vulnerability assessment platform, and that's where I got a lot of my training. And I saw, hey, I'm already doing a lot of this as a firefighter, as an EMT, doing things in the security world, but we didn't understand the focus of where that was driving us. So I was able to take those lessons learned and apply it to this new position I was doing for the military. Then I had deployed again, came back from that deployment, and I was assigned to a counter-narcotics team where we were working with drug diversion, different things like that, how to break into these systems and platforms that were out there that drug dealers were already very, very well aware of, and a lot of other nefarious activities, things like using gaming systems to have undocumented chat rooms where they could actually exchange ideas of how to do bad things. And we're like, hey, here's a whole nother focus that we're not looking at. So that's another vulnerability inside all these chat windows that go undocumented. So we took all that. And then I came back to Virginia in 2012, where I was hired as the emergency management, emergency security coordinator for all the drinking water sites in the Commonwealth of Virginia, anything that served a population of over 3,300 people. Virginia's got quite a healthy population. We got a lot of critical sites that needed to have some assessments. So in 2017, I took all that I had learned. Like I said, it was a slow progression. Took all that I had learned, and I said, instead of me working for somebody else where I'm finite into one category, I would like to educate others. I would like to do more. So I went out on my own and started a consulting company.
That's a
And
wonderful
anybody
thing.
who's
Just let me short jump in. That's a wonderful thing. The experience that you have earned with pain to give that others to do. Don't do the same. Point, point, point,
Absolutely.
point. So to make it clear, it's not always funny to do some stuff, and sometimes it's really bad. Things go really bad. So
They
you
do.
have the chance to give that back to a younger generation or just to other people in another environment or other sphere. That would be really a good thing if you have the chance at. For all the audience that listen to this podcast now, this one thing that you can give back in every situation, it doesn't matter how educated you are, give something back for others so they have the chance
Exactly.
to do or to don't do the same thing that it's going wrong in the past in your life. Okay, gotcha. Sorry. Go
Oh, no,
ahead.
you're fine. So all these positions, one of them I got interviewed for some black sky, understanding how things would happen. So in a black sky event, that's when we have a total power loss for an extended period of time, and you have societal chaos, and how do we get things back to functioning? How do we get government back in place? How do we handle those things? One thing that we're prone to here on the East Coast, and this also builds into that, is hurricanes. So we get a lot of hurricanes across the East Coast here in the US, which has long-term power outages, long-term water outages, food gets impacted, a lot of things, people have to be moved. But what happens to those businesses? How do those businesses get back to doing business? Because if they don't have a population to serve, then they have impact. So we work with how do we do that? And that's where that business continuity plan comes in, is how do we reestablish things back to where they were? And there's this misconception that we're going to go back to normal. Well, the normal isn't always the normal it was before the incident. The normal is what's the new normal after the incident? Security measures, employees have changed. How do I train those people to take those positions when somebody doesn't come back to them because they said, hey, I've had enough of those situations. We moved out west where we don't have those impacts and we're not coming back. And I got to train a whole new workforce. How do we get them all spun up? And those are the things that we focus on, especially helping managers and business managers to prepare for those all types of emergencies, because it's not always just, hey, there's a fire in the building, we got to leave. It's there's long-term impact.
This one thing, let make that clear. I'm sitting here in the middle, in the heart of Europe, Switzerland. It's not EU, it's not the European Union, but it's in the middle, in the heart of Europe. And you are sitting over there on the, I would say, on the other side, not of the moon, not of the dark side of the moon, and not of the dark side of the world, but you sit on the other side and you have a lot of experience that told us just right now with all this hurricane, all this catastrophe, how do you call that in English?
Catastrophes.
Catastrophe? Tell me again.
So we refer to it as a catastrophe.
Catastrophe. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Something that's
Some
got
pronouncing in
major
English
impact.
is so hard for us Swiss or for Germans. It's so hard. So if you have
Understand.
all the things in a natural environment, I guess if you are talking about business, you have a lot of experience in the, would say, East Coast or Southeast Coast in the US. And we get more and more in trouble in Europe, and we have to handle all the things as well. Maybe
Yes.
that could be a business case for you to give this experience as a consultant advisor to the EU, to people in Europe. Think about that, just a gift for free for me to you.
I'll keep that in
So,
mind.
yes, come on. Usually, if I have a guest and then we are talking about where is he come from, was he going on a professional, and you told us that in a really kind way. So, I would be interested in that. What kind of you talk? You was talking about managers and directors of of board or a management board, and let me see. I just have a note for you, a sentence that I prepared. One should be boards, director, executive managers pay more attention in today's world with regard to leadership and management and risk management. So
That is
they
a
should looking for more. What's your what would be the advice for general on generals manager or board of directors?
so
Ike Eisenhardt would say in generally for
so this is
victory.
again this is Ike talk, not necessarily the way it should be, but I think board of directors, especially your public officials, don't get trapped in the mindset of, hey, we've never had an issue. We've done things this way. We're going to continue doing this things this way. We've got a budget for it at this level. Because a lot of us get lulled into a false sense of security. I've got fences, so I got security. Fences are not security. Fences are a tool in your security toolbox. I have cameras, I have security. Cameras are not security. Cameras are also a tool. I've got security guards. Security guards are not security. They're a tool in your toolbox. It's all these things. And as a business leader, as a public official, we have to understand that true security, true emergency preparedness, true crisis management is having all those layers, understanding how all those layers work and supporting those layers. Don't become complacent in we've not had this issue, so we're not going to have this issue. In the US, our eye-opener was 9/11. We didn't typically have jetliners crashing in and taking out buildings and upsetting our normal. So we established a new normal after 9/11. Businesses that couldn't do it didn't make it. The COVID crisis, the COVID pandemic, we saw a lot of businesses go away and not come back because business leaders, they couldn't be flexible in their approaches on how they did things because this is how we've done it. This is how we're always going to do it. We're not able to change. And we don't really want to listen to, and that's a bad way to say it. I don't want to say we don't want to listen to, but they have a hard time hearing when security experts say, hey, you need to do this. Because the first thing they hear when they say, hey, I'm Ike Eisenhardt from Ironheart Consulting, I'm a security expert, their first thing they're thinking is, okay, here comes the dollar signs. And that's not always the case. Sometimes it's the low-hanging fruit, Are you changing passwords on a regular basis to protect your IT program? Are you making sure each user has a unique login so that you don't have one login for a complex system, then you don't really have an understanding of who's in there. And this creates a problem. And we find that around our computer operated data systems. So, like your power plants, your utilities, different things like this, they have this overarching computer system that runs things, and they don't always give them unique passwords because it's up all the time. So it doesn't matter who's sitting behind it. Well, it matters who's sitting behind it because they may have a different idea of how they want that day to go for you.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Absolutely.
That's the point. Just usually I would say, don't hesitate to interrupt. So I will tell me that myself. So yeah, you have right. There are some points there. I guess tools, toolbox, that's something that you can just adapt and bring with you, like a backpack or a toolbox, and then you have all these things in there. But the mentality, the things, how to do it, and how
Exactly.
to connect these different tools to a bigger, I would say, a bigger tool, huh? From the toolbox, the small pieces to put that in the right manner together, and then have a process that connects with each other and give you more strength, more power to be resilient. To be more resilient for the future. How do you explain that before after the disaster is before the disaster, I would say, to get all the things, learning stuff and learning on the job and learning after the situation that you have to adapt and to get the methodology to do the things right.
Correct.
But the managers, there are some business people and safety and security and risk and business continuity managers are specialists mostly. If you are not self-employed or just you are working and you are an employee in an organization or in a company, then usually you are the specialist and you are not really this guy who looks for the input and the output and the money. So you just give the knowledge and the tools for the business partners or for the customers to fix the things and to prepare and to prevent. I would say one thing for the future, Ike, is to speak or to understand and have the empathy for a specialist, for the business world, for the managers, and to have the tool, the skills for the same language.
Exactly.
That's something that I guess we miss a little bit. And you have
So one
all the
thing I've noticed.
specialists and all the certification guys to get more and more certificates and more studies. But you wouldn't be able to translate that to the business world. What do you think about that resilience thing to get
So
more connected, more power, more strength in the own organization.
exactly. So going back to part of what you said, we specialize in one silo, for lack of better terms. We specialize in a silo. There's a famous gentleman from the United States, and most of you probably heard of him, called named Henry Ford, the inventor of the Ford automobile. He once said, "I don't need to know everything. I need to know that I have the people at my on my team that know those different pieces, and they will educate me on what I need to know about that." So as a leader, as a manager, we might not need to know everything. We need to know a little bit about it, but we don't need to be a specialist in it. But we need to have those people on our staff that specialize in those, in this case, crisis management, emergency management. And we need to be willing to listen to them. And we need to be willing to help implement. And as leaders, we help implement. We can say, "Hey, you're going to do this." But if we don't support what we tell our staff to do, let's take a fire drill. And I'm a leader, and I said, "Okay, hey, yep, you're my emergency manager, you're my crisis manager, run the fire drill, but I've got a meeting, so I'm going to be in my office, just count me as there. What have you shown your staff? Have you supported what you just said you're going to do when you just said, 'Hey, really, it's not that important to me because I'm going to stay in here and do my work for everybody else?'" So it's got to be a supportive role by leaders. Then to go on, to go back to what we were talking about, where that comes down on specialists like you and I and others in the field, it's very easy to talk the talk and talk right over the top of those people that we're trying to interest. Because again, they have an understanding. They don't have intrinsic knowledge of the whole thing. They know a little bit about it. So we have to be able to talk the talk at a point where they understand and we don't lose our audience. Because if we don't get their buy-in, we don't get their support, we're just saying a lot of words that go nowhere. That's my opinion from Ike Eisenhart.
So the empathy and the ability to see what's the reaction over there, what's going on in the face over
Exactly.
there, what's the bigger or smaller sometimes brain is working on it to
Exactly.
see what's the customer or the chief or the superior or whatever the person in front of you. What's the need there? What the pain? What they want to fix, and how do you get into the same language? And yeah, I guess all the safety, security, risk, emergency, whatever managers, they would be great if they study a little bit more soft skills in language,
That communication piece,
in
because communication is
communications.
more than just talking and saying, it's there's two sides of communication: hearing,
Absolutely, absolutely,
talking, and being
absolutely.
able to share it. And that is from some of our crisis managers, safety security people, that is where I see that we lack. We talk very technical, we talk very, hey, we need this, this is why we need that. And we need to understand that when you first approach an uncomfortable situation like that with a leader, they're going to push back because they don't have enough knowledge. You may have scared them a little bit in thinking of all the things that could happen. And you just need to have that time to educate them.
Absolutely. I would say that's a big.
I
Just for you. Just for you.
appreciate
Ike, time flows really fast always in the podcast. And so we got a lot of things from you already. But I'm really interested in to know Ike Eisenhart. What's the next big picture? Where are you going in the next 3, 4, 5 years, maybe? What's your journey? What's your big goal?
So me for the next 3 to 5 years, this is a good question. I think my journey is to continue educating. I would like to get more involved in some of the legislative piece of how emergency management is handled. We had a big push with the American Waterworks Association here in the US, where they made a piece of legislation because utilities here for a long time didn't have to do vulnerability assessments. And now we have new legislation that says, hey, every 5 years you're gonna review what you're doing. And that's everything from how you're staying secure, but also how you're staying resilient. At what point are you giving back? And I think in 3 to 5 years we'll be part of that. We're already part of a strategic planning committee here in Virginia to help with long-term resiliency planning. And we're going to start branching off into other fields, more smaller businesses helping maintain those ebbs and flows that we need.
Okay. Do you have some strict rules to split that off, private and business parts in your life, or do you are the same guy with I would say risk management procedures to handle all the things in the private life as well?
So in my private life, I would say probably a little more a little
Bit
more
risky.
focused, a little more focused. But in the business world, it's all, like I said, it's all about building those partnerships, building those groups. I think for you and I, our long-term successes is creating those communities, kind of like this podcast you're doing. But where that information can be shared. And so when somebody says, hey, you know what, I'm in this community and this is an issue I've been facing, let me reach out to these folks that are also in my community and see how they overcame it so I can adjust and fix what I'm go have going on. I would love to be part of that.
Cool,
So I think we have a responsibility to pass on the knowledge that we've gained to those coming up behind us, either good or bad. Because we learn a lot from our mistakes more than we do from our positives. and
So
make sure they're
that's
doing
a good
stuff.
point. That is a good point. Let me jump in there. Maybe just for all the listeners and the audience and you and me, maybe we just pick up some topics or some ideas that the audience or you environment just want to talk about, and then we just pick that topic or that item and just let 20 or 25 or 30 minutes to talk about that stuff, and then we have the chance to give something and ideas or another perspective to other people. So that would be something that we can do. Absolutely, absolutely. So time is running. Time is running. So
That's it.
yeah, a short summary. If it's necessary, I would say no, it's not necessary because Ike Eisenhardt is this guy who works a long time in the whole public and private environment for health, safety, security, environment things. I would say a firefighter, troubleshooter, all together, and a businessman as well. But I guess a guy that has the empathy to listen and to get the idea and the needs and feel the pain of the customers to fix that. And he has as well some journey to the next big picture to study more. And maybe this
Absolutely.
was something that I rather. I read a few days before. If you study, 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 and then you know more and more about less and less.
Exactly.
So you get a
See.
specialist, but we have to be aware of that, that we're not only specialists, we have to be prepared and able to get all the big pictures and all the big picture and just get a higher level of view and overview, and to get connections to each branch or each industry and to learn from each other. And that a good
Yes.
thing to give something back, absolutely. I have a question, two questions for you in the end of this podcast. And so the first one is, sorry about that, risk management. What do you leave behind you if you just have to go today? What the people would say about Ike Eisenhardt? He was a. What do you think? What you
Well,
leave? What
there's
do
probably
you
some colorful metaphors for what Ike Eisenhardt used to be.
leave?
I would say that they would characterize me as professional, as somebody who cares about his community, his environment, his profession, somebody who cares about making sure that I've left it a little bit better than I found it. I can't make it perfect. None of us can make it perfect, but we each interaction we have, maybe it needs to be focused on trying to make it a little bit better.
So he's working on it,
I'm
maybe on the
working on
other
it.
side.
Yes.
If it's the case, if it's the case, we
Yeah.
don't hope so. We don't. We hope that you have a lot of time, and we have the time as well to spend with each other some ideas or some discussions or other things to just give something back to our audience, to our people around the world, in
Exactly.
all this safety security environment. And before I just let me. If we have the chance to go into contact, to get a contact, to get the idea, if you have a question and you want to spend time with you, people want to ask you something, where do you have the chance to get contact with you? So, do you have a website, an email,
So
LinkedIn profile?
we have a LinkedIn profile. I have one under my name, Ike Eisenhardt, and then we have one under Ironheart, and that's Hart, Hart. So it's Ironheart Consulting LLC, and you'll see a deer's head as our logo, so you'll know you got the right one. And then for contacting me direct, if you want to contact me, realizing this is reaching out across more than just the U.S., you can contact me at Ike, Ike dot Eisenhardt, Eisenhardt. Hart at Ironheart, Ironheart dash consulting.com. That's the easiest way to get information to me. And I'll share whatever I can share as long as it's, doesn't violate any legal regulations. I'm happy to share.
That's absolutely fine. That's absolutely fine. So the last question that I have for you, and I will not comment it. It just let you finish the sentence when I start, and you can do it after the comma. Life is too short to.
Life is too short to be afraid to live. I actually have that posted up on my computer screen in the other room. And what does that mean? That means We need to be willing to take those chances. We need to be willing to do those education pieces. You know, don't sit back and say, I wish I had accomplished this before the end of life. Do those things because you only get one
Absolutely.
life.
Absolutely, absolutely. And yeah, that was it already. So just let me know and try if I have the right button to push. Yeah. That's a sign. That's a sign that our podcast episode, it's at the end. We are not at the end, but the podcast, and we have the chance, and we had the chance to talk with Ike Eisenhardt about safety, security, emergency crisis management, risk management, a lot more. So if you have the chance to get in contact with him, just ask him what you want to know about safety, security, emergency crisis management, and whatever. I hope, Ike, you have a good time. I wish you all the best over the sea on the other side of the planet.
Thank you.
Best wishes to you and your company and your family. Take the
All right.
chance to success. Bye
All
bye.
right. Thank you, Tony. It was good seeing you again.
See you. Bye.